Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Loving Yourself Completely. I hope you all are having an amazing week. Happy Monday. I hope the start of your week is setting the tone for how you what you would like to accomplish this week and all your goals and all your dreams, and changing one small thing every single day to make that big life change that you're aiming for. Today, I wanted to talk about are you too generous? And is it affecting your mental health to say no? One of my biggest topics and questions in my emails I get is people really struggle with setting boundaries, whether it's family members or friends or coworkers, setting those boundaries and saying no, or this makes me uncomfortable, not right now, of course I would love to help, you know, and not feeling guilty about it, not feeling as though you're letting somebody down. And I mean, we've all been there. We've all made decisions that we felt 100% correct about, but the other person didn't feel that, and we've lost sleep over it, and we've stressed over it, and we've talked it out with every person willing to listen, wondering, did I make the right decision because I hurt this person? You don't have to give people the world just because they're in your life. And I say that because a lot of these emails I get are with family members, are with best friends, and you can say no. And if these people hold that against you or are not wanting to be in your life anymore, that is not on you, and it's okay to be upset, and it's okay to feel sad, but knowing that you back your own decision 100%, and if they're not handling that the right way, then they need to seek out why. It's not your job to prove your point to somebody else, just like it's not your job to get somebody to fall in love with you or to stay with you or to be in your life or to be in your children's life. You don't have to convince people of your answers. That's not you. Setting boundaries around yourself and your life and your family, that is self-love. Saying no is, you know, self-care. And that's okay. I have so many people that, you know what, they weeded themselves out of my life because I did set those boundaries, because I was feeling taken advantage of constantly, and I always wanted to help people. And it's with everything, and it's not always just with what you can do for them and who you are to them. It's always having to be at their beck and call and responding to their messages right away and picking up their phone call all the time and helping them dig themselves out of a hole they dug. You can tell them, I can't. Especially if you know you can't. I've had times where I will run to the rescue for people in my life, and that's okay. But it's also okay if you're not mentally healthy in that moment to say, I don't have it in me, and I will do anything I can that I'm allowing myself to do right now. I have cut somebody very important out of my life. It's been almost a year since I've spoken to her, and I've mentioned it a couple of times. That's my own mother. And that's hard for me to even say out loud, because people kind of just look at me like, your mom. And that was really hard for me. She was somebody I spoke with every single day, multiple times a day. And now it's been almost a year since I've heard a word from her, or even my son has heard from her. And it wasn't so much as one thing that she did. Like, people are like, what happened? I don't have an answer. It was a buildup of always having to listen to that pity party story, and that always expecting you to mentally be there when sometimes you aren't. Or I would tell her multiple times, you know, don't say A, B, and C to me because I don't have it in me. And she would keep going. Or I'd say, you know, she'd be mid-story of a story that was triggering me. And I would say, oh, I can't hear it. And she'd say, no, listen. And she would keep going. There were moments where I would set down my phone and walk away. I had no idea what she was saying, because she wasn't listening to my words. And then the last time I seen her, I had set very strong boundaries with COVID when it first started. Very strong. If you wanted to come over and see my son, that's okay, but we're not touching, we're not coming inside. It was summertime, so I was like, we'll play outside, you can watch him play, we can talk. And I also wanted to be careful of her as well. She's a transplant recipient and her immunity is low, and she was just begging to please see us. And of course, my son wanted to see her. We were already in a rocky place, but I never wanted to keep my son from her at all. So I was like, okay, absolutely. You know, Brett's mom comes over every week and we do the whole thing. We sit outside and, nobody goes inside. And even Brett's mom, she's like, I went to the bathroom before I came, cause I know you don't want me in your house. And she'd stay for, you know, an hour or so. And, okay, let's get going because I'm ready to go inside somewhere. But she understood our boundaries. And my mother, of course agreed to all these things. And then when she came over, it was very upsetting because then it was like, okay, now she's in and she can do all these things. And she was in my house and she had to, you know, go inside, and she was trying to hug on my son and she was touching his cup he was drinking out of. Like, it was such a little petty thing, but it showed me that she didn't respect even the smallest boundaries I had, nor did she respect my big boundaries. And when she left that day, you know, we didn't argue or anything like that. It was just like, it was awkward because I kept telling her, like, stop doing that. And, you know, she was like coughing, which was triggering to me because COVID was going on. I'm like, what's going on with you? It was like an aggressive cough. She's like, oh, I don't know. And she like wasn't covering her mouth. And I'm not trying to down her, but it was like all those little things. And I was getting frustrated. I felt myself getting frustrated because here you are asking to come over, agreeing to my rules that I had set for my family that may have been ridiculous to somebody else, but you agreed to my terms. And then you came over and you broke all my rules. And then when she left, you know, it was, I love you, I'll see you later, bye. But I could tell she was offended by how upset that I had become, and I'd kind of shut down speaking with her, and it was just conversations between her and my son. I had kind of shut out emotionally because I was so frustrated that she broke my boundaries. And on top of it, it was like the cherry on top. Like I said, before that last meeting, we weren't great. She hadn't been to my house in probably 6 months. It was very iffy because she was always telling me things I didn't want to hear. And she was always telling me other people's business that I didn't want to hear. I didn't want to be a part of drama. I didn't want to have her sucking out my mental health every single day. And it was hard. And I understand, you know, we would go back and forth venting and about our struggles and things like that. But when it becomes every conversation, it's draining. And when you are vocal up to people what your triggers are and what affects you mentally, when they can't respect that, it may take a while. Like I said, this was my own mother, and I had to go, you know what? I leave in more panic and anxiety and depression when I speak with you than when I came to you, and you're not helping my life. You're not contributing to my life. And even when she, you know, she was there for me during some of my anxiety, and she would be the person I called and she would help calm me until I found out, you know, that she's telling people about it. And she always wanted that recognition. And in my mind, you know, when my son is going through something, I would never want to put that out there. That's his business and he's trusting me with it. And to come and find out I have people messaging me, checking on me, and that was nice on their end to check on me, but you shouldn't have even known, because I'm struggling and now I have to deal with these people judging me as well when they don't know everything. So that was hard for me. And I would tell her multiple times, please don't tell people this. Please don't tell people this. Like, you're the only person I have to talk to and I'm trusting you. And she broke it. Multiple times it was broken. And, you know, she just, I don't want to make this about her, but that's where I'm coming from, is boundaries. And when it gets to a point where even if you love this person so much and you wish them nothing but the best and you're going to miss them, What are they affecting in your life, and what are they bringing to your life that you can't bring for yourself sometimes and correct on your own? Is this person taking that away? I would be getting better and she would call and I would get off the phone and I would be in anxiety all day. I would have anxiety all day long. And I love my mom. Of course I do. But I couldn't be there the way she needed me to be there. And she couldn't respect that about me. And that's unfortunate. Even, you know, over the holidays, it was still hurtful. I hadn't heard from her since, you know, May or so, and the holidays came, and she was still on my Facebook and things, so she's seen bits of my life, and she would comment on things, and I was very nice about it. I would comment back and things like that, but then my son's birthday passed, and Christmas passed, and nothing. It was silent, and then now I feel like my kid is being neglected, and you don't get to see him through Facebook and be all lovey-dovey towards him on Facebook when he doesn't see that. You didn't even call on his birthday. You didn't reach out on Christmas. You didn't even send a gift. Not that it was about a gift, but, you know, when you're so wrapped up in other people's lifestyles, it takes it out on your own. So I had to delete her off Facebook. I said, you know what? This is affecting me again. It's affecting me again because now I'm thinking of my kid. And that was hurtful. So you have to stand strong in decisions that you know you're right in. I know I'm right in this decision. Is it hard? Do I think about it every day? Do I question it? Do I go into therapy every single week and discuss how I'm feeling and how it's hurting me? Of course. Of course I do. But I also know that if I don't have boundaries with these certain people in my life, they will take away my self-love, my self-care, my anxiety techniques, my depression techniques. They will start chipping away at it to where I'm lost again. You can be selfish with your time. Nobody says that you have to give this amount of time to this person for this long for when they want it. That's you. You say that. You have, even me, you know, you have that guilt in you going, oh, you know, they did this for me a year ago, so I guess I should do this for them. And you know what? Sometimes you will feel guilty, but if it's going to take away from the progress you're making, you don't have to do it. Never make yourself feel guilty for setting limits to your generosity, to your time, to your mental health. And you don't have to always give to people who give to you. That's not the way it works. You give to those when you can, or if you would like to, and just be vocal about it. You know, even if they do something for you, you can be appreciative and things like that. And you can even state like, oh my gosh, I wish I could do this for you. I appreciate this so much, but I can't right now. I'm so thankful for you, and you really helped me out on my hard days, and I hope you know how important you are to me. Expressing somebody's importance in your life is an amazing thing to do. You don't always have to give things to people. I used to buy things for people all the time, or I would lend them money when they needed, or they A, B, and C. And I always thought like, oh, if I get them the best gift for their baby shower, best gift for Christmas, best gift for their birthday, that'll get me an in with them and they'll be appreciative. And that wasn't the case. You know, they took that as she has it. Now I'm going to keep getting it. And I had to stop. Because I could be generous didn't mean I had to be generous. And that's where you have to draw the line with the people in your life. Are they going to be with you through the times when you can't do the things for them? And are they going to understand when you set the boundaries in your life that you have to set to be loving? Using your voice is one of the truest steps to loving yourself completely, using your own voice. You cannot allow yourself to lose sleep over making someone see that you care. Just because you said no doesn't make you a bad person. You don't have to make this person see that they're important to you. You can do it through your actions. And sometimes if you can't do it through your actions, if you're just not mentally there and they don't understand that, that is not on you. And you don't have to feel that guilt over not being there for somebody just because they were there for you that one time. If they're a true friend, they will understand that in this moment, I don't have it in me. One of my greatest friends, she's struggling a lot in her life right now. She's got a lot of drama going on. I love her so much, but she will ask me, do you have the mental capacity to handle my bullshit right now? And I will tell her yes, or I will tell her no. And she understands and doesn't take that offensively. And then she'll reach out a couple of days later, or she'll say, oh, well, how are you? What is going on? Talk to me. Even on top of her bullshit, she doesn't mind hearing mine. And that's what it is. It's a give and take. And some people are not always on the same page. And if you're constantly, if you're in a different book and you're constantly trying to match them together, sometimes they just don't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. It's two different books. We're not even in the same one. It's just not. And I always love, you know, that saying, your value does not decrease by somebody's inability to see it. And I tell myself that all the time. When I am unable to do things for people, when I'm mentally unable to be there for them, I know my value is still good. I'm still in a good place. But guess what? I'm struggling right now. And if you can't see that I need a little extra care, then I'm not going to force you to understand that. I'm just going to have to step back for a little bit. Even with my mom, you know, this isn't set in stone that we won't talk ever again. That's not something set. And I think about it every day because, you know, she is older and she's been through a lot of health issues and she's struggling. I think about it every day. What if that was my last time to see her? And that hurts my heart. It really does. It hurts me. But when we were together, we butted heads and we would leave in an awkward moment and awkward moods. And it's like we need this time apart because when we were together, we were hurting each other's feelings. Either she was hurting mine or I was hurting hers. And we had to take that step back. We have to do this because it was becoming unhealthy for both of us. I'm sure she would leave and cry just like I cried when she left. It's those things that you're realizing that I'm still a good person. Even if that other person can't see it right now, or you took it a different way than I took it, and I took it a different way than you took it, she's still a good person. We just can't be around each other right now. It's not healthy for either of our mental health. And it wasn't, even when I deleted her off my Facebook, it wasn't healthy to have her on there. Because you weren't a part of my life, and it hurt my heart that you were seeing all these joyful moments in my life, but you weren't a part of them, and nor did you care to be a part of them. And as moms, we all think differently. We think, you know, I would always see my grandkid, or I would always see my daughter. I would do anything it took to be in their life. And, you know, that's how I think, but I'm not in this situation. I don't have a grown kid. I don't have a grandkid. So I have to remember that whatever I think I would do, I don't know. You can't always put yourself in somebody else's shoes. You can think it, and you can, sometimes we judge it. Sometimes we get in those moods where we're just judging the hell out of the world. But you don't know for a fact what you would do if you struggled with this. And that's what I tell people who have never experienced mental health or anxiety or depression or OCD thoughts or negative thoughts, anything. Have you had them before? And if they say no, then I don't judge you. I praise you, honestly, because you're living your best life. But I will say, then you can't understand the energy it takes to pull yourself out of that some days. The energy it takes to just plaster on that smile and walk through life. The energy it takes to get out of bed in the morning because you have shit to do and you have to do it. It's hard. It's very hard, but you just have to remember, emotions do not have to overpower your mind. They don't have to. These sensations you feel do not have to overpower your mind, nor your body. There are ways to reprogram that and get around that, and that's what we're working on. While I was writing this episode this week, I didn't realize my phone spied on me as much as it does, but on my Pinterest page, something popped up that I wanted to read to you guys. And it was really inspiring to me because it was exactly what I was writing about, and it really hit home for me and exactly what I'm trying to express to you guys. I'm not sure who wrote it, but it's really a wonderful thing that I have saved in my phone. And so I wanted to read it to you guys. It says, "What do boundaries feel like? It is not my job to fix others. It is okay if others get angry. It is okay to say no. It is not my job to take responsibility for others. I do not have to anticipate the needs of others. It is my job to make me happy. Nobody has to agree with me. I have a right to own my feelings, and I am enough." And that is really what I'm trying to express to you guys. Other people's inability to see what you are working on and setting your own lifestyle and setting your own boundaries is what's most important to you. And if others don't understand that, that's okay. And that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with this person. They may have not gotten to that point yet to where they understand boundaries, to where they understand that when somebody tells them no, it's not in a malicious intent. And that's all right. So I wanted to go through some questions that kind of hit home with this episode and just some random ones that I wanted to get addressed. So here we go. Okay. First question is, I have no name for this one. This is anonymous. My spouse has noticed I have gained weight and has even mentioned it, something I of course already knew. He wasn't being mean or rude and said, let's do this together, let's do this journey together, but it has really affected my mental health and the way I see myself, knowing that he now sees it too. I don't want to be intimate as of late due to this. Why can't I just be more confident in who I am and what I have? So, of course he wasn't being mean or rude, and I think that's wonderful. You're very blessed to have somebody who wants to come to you genuinely and speak to you about your health and what you're going through and what's going on and to be a part of your journey in bettering yourself. I think that's very commendable of him. Of course, that's a touchy subject. I completely understand that no matter what or how they say it, it's still taking a little dig and it hurts. I myself, when I was drinking and not taking care of my body, I was about 210 pounds and it took me 2 years to get back to my regular weight that I should be at, my healthy weight. And during the time that I was even going through it, Brett never said anything. I don't think he really noticed as much because it's such a gradual change until you start looking, you know, you look at pictures of a couple years ago and you're like, oh my gosh, and you notice it. I noticed it. My jeans didn't fit. My shirts didn't fit. I was struggling doing basic exercise moves that I was so used to because I was very into fitness for so long. And those 2 years that I was drinking, I lagged, and we were going through a very hard time in our lives, and I completely pushed everything healthy out the window. So I get that. I get that when you look at yourself, sometimes you feel not as sexy as you once did. And like you said, since he said that, you don't want to be intimate due to that comment. But you know what I always think is when you're with somebody who truly loves you and truly cares about you, they still want you. They just want you to be your best self. I'm sure he wasn't saying it attacking you. It doesn't sound like. It sounds like he wants you to be your best. And if you're struggling with anything mental health, I say it all the time. I'll say it again. What you put into your body, food, drinks, anything, really does affect your mental health. So maybe he's realizing that, you know, you wanting to be better mentally, it could help with that affecting your body physically. So those two things really do go hand in hand. I wouldn't hold it against him. I wouldn't think to myself that he doesn't find you attractive. Of course he does. He's probably not showing you any reason he doesn't. You're finding those reasons, I'm sure. As far as the, I just want to be more confident in what I have, you can do that. You don't have to be a size 6 to feel confident. You can do that all on your own, but you have to believe that. And if you're genuinely not comfortable with your body, it will be hard to do. Get to a place where you're comfortable with your body, whatever weight that may be. And once you get to that place and you feel that confidence, it's not going to matter what anybody else says. So work on that. Work on finding the balance between mental health and physical health and feeling secure in both of those things. I wouldn't hold it against your husband. I would gently tell him, you know, I know this, honey. Like, I understand this. I know where you're coming from, and it's a genuine place of caring for me and my well-being, and I will do what I have to do in my own time. Thank you for concerning my feelings and feeling as though you want to help me. And if I want you to go along with this journey with me, I would love that. But for right now, I'm figuring it out and I'm getting there. So I think just talking very calmly about it, because it's a touchy situation, especially with us women. We really struggle with wanting to look like these people we see all over the place. And that's hard to find your own balance of feeling confident in your own skin. And again, I mean, if you got to set that boundary with him saying, hey, this is a no-go zone with me, with my weight. I love you so much, but I struggle when you say these things to me. Nothing on you, but this is a no-topic conversation on my end for now, until I'm ready. And that's another thing with boundaries. Knowing even what your spouse is allowed to talk to you with and about. There's certain things. I mean, I have them in my relationship, those topics that are touchy. Sometimes you touch on them and then you pull back a little bit because you know that it's a slippery slope if you get too far in. Communication is always key. And I'm not saying that like, oh, we can't ever talk about this, but just for right now, this is a touchy subject with me. Okay. Next question. Oh, I love you guys so much. Yes, my wife wants to get our names tattooed on each other. Of course, we are married and we plan on forever, but there are so many what ifs. Am I overthinking this? She got so offended when I initially said no. That is so cute. Of course, I think that's so cute. And some people will say it's a jinx or things like that. And if you believe in that, that's fine. Brett and I have matching tattoos. We've talked about doing initials. We've talked about doing our anniversary day. We've talked about a million things. We love getting tattoos together. We actually make like dates out of it. We schedule tattoo appointments and we go on a date and we get tattooed together. It is a really personal journey for you guys. I see that you said you initially said no. So I see they're thinking about it, which is cool. I don't know how long you guys have been together. She's your wife. I say go for it. If you're confident in your marriage and you plan on forever, why not? Get it in a place that could be covered up or could be hidden if you need to. And so what? You know, be in this journey together. You're in a relationship right now. And if you find the joy out of that, I say go for it because it's just fun. And we're not on this earth forever. And if you're on here forever with her, then you'll always have a fun memory. And if not, you can get them covered up. It's just initials. You know, get something put over them. I think it's fun. I think it's a great bonding time. Like I said, we love it. We've sat in tattoo shops together for hours and it's so much fun. And the conversation is wonderful. And then we have a forever memory together. We got our first matching tattoos. Now remember, this was 9 years ago. I was young and not so smart. We got them at a friend's house and I wouldn't say it was the best idea, but they turned out great. She did a wonderful job. But from then on, we went professional. But it was a fun story. It was literally it's one of our favorite stories to tell people about when they ask about our matching tattoos, and it's so much fun. Sorry if you guys hear my dogs in the background. They're being a little needy. So that is one of my favorite things to do. All right, next question. Have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to Loving Yourself Completely and turn on notifications to never miss an episode. Why search when you can Spotify? All right. I am looking to spice up our bedroom to be a little more sexy. I'm a wife of 13 years, and not that our sex life is lagging, but the excitement has definitely been decreasing a little. Looking for sexy tips to get it moving again. Oh, that was like a tongue twister for me, and I don't know why. Okay, well, as we're coming up on Valentine's Day, this is a really fun question, and that's why I picked it. So this is super cute. 13 years, your sex life is not lagging, but you want a little bit of excitement. The excitement is decreasing. Everybody who's been in a long-term relationship can agree that sometimes your sex life is on fire one week and not so much the next week. So you look for things. I mean, we love all the things, as I've spoken of before. We are obsessed with buying toys and gadgets and straps and ties and swings. And like, I love all of that stuff. So I say, get on Adam and Eve. They have such amazing quality items for great prices. And as a wife, I'm sure you have all the lingerie and all the fun things. So 13 years, I'm sure you've bought a ton of things. One of my favorite things that I will tell every couple, if you don't have one, get a sex swing. So much fun. That will bring some fun excitement, new positions, new ways of moving, new intimacy, new trust. I'll tell you what, trusting that swing and trusting your spouse. It gets a little, get the straps that go under your mattress. Like, I'm not sure if you're into that stuff, but like adding fun little things in there. Or I even say, if you don't want to buy anything, you know, after so long of being together, you do the basic, not basic, but it's, you mainly have sex in the bedroom, or if you have kids, of course, in the bedroom. Find a different place in your house or in your car, in the driveway. You don't even have to be anywhere. Now that we're older, we could get arrested for it, so we have to be a little more careful. But I love even sex in the car in the driveway, like super fun. If you live in a secluded area, outside on the patio. So many different things you can do without spending money. And even watching like a porn together. I tried to think of like a classier way to say it, but I've lost on it. So watching porn together. There's so many little fun things you can do, but my go-tos would be different locations, buy something fun for the bedroom, or even something fun like food-wise. You could do the food thing, whipped cream and, you know, all the fun, the chocolates, and they have those fun flavored lubricants that you can use on him and he can use on you. So little things like that really go a long way. And for a guy, like, oh my gosh. Or I loved, last year I made like a coupon book, and he hasn't used any of them because I'm so willing all the time because I'm an amazing person. Just kidding. But like a coupon book with like kinky stuff in it, not like your basic high school stuff, like, oh, a massage, you know, then you could do that. I'm not saying you can't, but like spice it up a little bit because that's what you're looking for. Anal and blowjobs and, you know, sex in the shower and things that kind of fade away over the years of that excitement of, you know, the beginning of relationships. Go back to that. And I say that he will be as excited as it gets. Okay, here we got. My husband is my safe place with everything. I have no complaints. As Valentine's Day is approaching, I really want to do a sentimental gift homemade. We have been together 5 years and always try to be more thoughtful than giving. I'm drawing a blank this year. It can be sexy, crafty, or even fun. Any ideas to get my mind flowing? Okay, so this is super fun too. Kind of like the last question. Sex-wise, you can do what I said in the last question. Crafty, with what you said of making things. Oh my gosh, there's so many fun things. You have to, if you want it to be like sexy and crafty. So I really loved this question because instantly I thought, if you look it up, the body canvas paintings, they're like these huge canvases. You paint whatever color you want, and then you paint your butt, your thighs, and your hands, and you like do a sexy position. Oh, and your feet. And it's like a one leg propped up onto the canvas, and then your butt goes imprinted into the canvas, and your hands. And it sounds really silly, but hey, that's homemade and crafty and sexy. That's kind of, it's even funny. And it's something kind of cute to put in your bedroom. Brett and I did it, and we actually did it together, and it was so much fun. I really hope you try that because that is the crafty, sexy, funny, and thoughtful and giving all in one. Or you can just do little things. You know, you can make food together. Say, hey, honey, I bought all these ingredients. Let's bake together. Let's cook together. Do a movie night and have super fun things that you guys can paint together. Do like a wine and canvas thing, but like watching a movie together or watching the canvas painting on your TV in your living room. You don't have to go out and spend a bunch of money to have fun date nights. We are always trying to get creative with how we can have fun together. So I think that's a really fun question. I hope I got your mind flowing a little bit, that just a little bit of paint and some canvases and you guys could have a great date night, and you don't have to have something to give to him. You can give him a card and candy and things like that. So yeah, I think that'll be a really cool thing to do together. And, you know, like I said, doing the canvases and things like that, that's not very expensive. And you don't have to give somebody something that day. You can do it together and you make the memories and you have fun times and you laugh. And you can, even if you don't drink, like we don't drink, we make up fun drinks, you know, of frozen coffee drinks, or we have a slushy machine and you can make those, and you can have ice cream and sundaes and banana splits and all kinds of things. You can even, if you wanted to splurge a little bit, you can order food and take out and do like a little canvas painting of fun things that you find just on YouTube and put it on your TV. Like, there's so many little things you can do, especially this year hit hard for a lot of people and don't have the means to go all out. I think it's really cool that you guys do the sentimental gifts and you try to make it on your own. And if you want it to be sexy and fun, I say that that's a great start. So I really hope that helped and that you get your ideas flowing with that. I think it's exciting and I hope you write back in and tell me what you guys ended up doing because I think it'll be a lot of fun. Okay, last question. I'm really struggling saying no to people even when it affects my mental health. I know sometimes they are just trying to help, but I'm miserable when I feel forced to do something out of guilt. How can I get people to understand it's not them? I'm just not ready to do certain things because of my anxiety. Oh, this is a perfect episode for you. So again, saying no to people who love you and care for you, they won't take it harshly. So do that. Don't be scared to tell people no, because truly, if you are not ready to take certain steps, you don't want your anxiety to associate with certain activities, because then it resonates in there when you try to do them again. When you're ready, you know, these people are coming to you out of a loving place, but if they've never dealt with anxiety or things like that, there will be people who don't understand, but if they truly love you, they will come around. Saying no to people is so important in making your steps. And if you're working every day with mindfulness and meditation and self-love and taking a small step every day in the right direction, you will get there. And there are certain steps that you kind of wait for the last, you know, that's the last one I'm willing to tackle. Deal with the small stuff first. And these people will understand, but setting those boundaries with your mental health is very important because you don't want to feel forced to do things. And these people, they just want to get you out. They want to, you know, oh, let's go out to lunch or go shopping or go for a drive. But if you're not there yet, your anxiety can go full blast. And then you have that guilt, like we said over and over again, that guilt of saying no and feeling bad, or you go and you have a bad time or you have anxiety the whole time. And it's not fun. So just telling these people, hey, you know, I appreciate where you're coming from and I see it. I see you. I see how you're trying and I see how you're trying to help me and you're loving me and you're caring about what I'm going through. But at the same time, I'm just not there yet. And I will let you know when I get there and I'll let you know when I'm ready. And I'm so thankful that you're along on this journey for me, with me. But this is just not where I'm going right now and I'm not ready for that yet. So I think that's really important. Saying no doesn't have to affect your mental health the way we allow it to. People with mental health, you know, we get that guilt. And we talked about it earlier, that guilt that keeps us up at night. And sometimes we cave and just do it because we don't want that other person to feel mad at us. When 9 times out of 10, they're probably not. It's our own minds that create that in ourselves. DARE, D-A-R-E. It's a free app that helps manage anxiety, panic, and breathing. They are a small-owned company that has been doing big things. They help with guided meditation, embracing sensations, and handling situations with anxiety. They will also help to end your insomnia. There's even an SOS button when you're in need of immediate relief with guidance from their audios. They send daily inspiration to your phone. You can do more by downloading the DARE app for free to clear your mind today. You can also upgrade to a premium for $9.99 a month for an extra 150 plus of their therapeutic audios, a new daily DARE audio every day, and supportive online communication with monthly themed challenges. Download the DARE app today for free and get back to being yourself. So I really hope that helps today in knowing that it's okay. Like I said, it is okay to say no and it's okay to feel a little guilt over it, but you can't let it consume your life. And knowing that the reason you said no is for your own benefit and even for their benefit. Like I said, with a lot of people who don't understand it, they can easily get offended by our lack of being there, not physically, but mentally. And it can take away from their experience as well. And it just affects everybody who's in the circle of it. So don't feel bad for saying no. Set your boundaries, set your way for people to come in and help you if you want it and not if you don't. And it's okay to do all of the above. finding your way out of any mental health issues, anxiety, depression, OCD, things like that, or even just on the journey to loving yourself completely, you are going to feel guilty sometimes. But that's why I say it's okay to be selfish. Remember that when you are feeling that way. It's okay to be selfish with your time, with your energy, with your heart. That's okay. That concludes today's episode. And that was a lot. And I hope you guys took it all in and it resonated with you. And I was helpful to some of those questions. And I hope you all have a wonderful Valentine's Day. And do something for yourself. Even if you're with your spouse, even if you have somebody, do something for yourself. It can be literally anything of getting your favorite coffee or your favorite smoothie, your favorite place to eat, order something. Do something loving for yourself on that day, because it's not always about having somebody. It's about just loving who you are inside as a person and really getting yourself to feel great that day, because don't let the stigma around that holiday get to you. And I just hope you all have a wonderful week. Don't forget to go leave a rating and review for Loving Yourself Completely and subscribe to this channel. Don't miss any notifications of when the episodes come out. And I will see you all next week. Have a great week and happy early Valentine's Day.